Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. We bless his holy name. We exalt his holy name. Forever he shall be praised. Hallelujah. Well, I wish I can say good to see all of you here this evening, but that's okay. I'm glad that you can see me this evening. Praise God. As I have been saying, we are united together in one spirit, by one God, one love, the Holy Spirit, and we give him all the honor and glory and praise. And we glorify his name for the technology that we are utilizing and bringing you the message and bringing you the word of God coming this evening for the purpose of us growing, for the purpose of us getting closer to him, to edify the church of God, and for the Lord to speak with you in various different ways. So I am grateful that you have decided to be part of this live stream, or even afterwards, if you're watching this after the fact. May the Lord bless you tremendously. Praise God. Let's start with a word of prayer right away, shall we? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We exalt you. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, so much for taking care of us. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you, Father, for being so merciful to us, Lord, in various different times. Lord, I pray that this evening we will grow closer and closer to you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would grow stronger in you. As day goes by, Lord, as your word says, that we can grow in the knowledge of you, Lord, day by day. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that ministers to us, Lord, when we read your word, when we read the Bible, when we speak with you, Lord, speak to you through prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your faithfulness. And Lord, be glorified, Lord, this evening. May you speak, Lord, to your people, not me. Your Holy Spirit, Father. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, if in case you were part of the study last Wednesday, I spoke about growing in character. And there are so many different things that we must do, that we can do to be more like Christ, be more like our Lord Jesus. And I feel as though I've preached this sermon several times, maybe even borderline many times, but in different ways. And it's funny how many times have we read a particular verse. We've read it so many times, we even have it memorized, and then one day you're drawn to that verse again, and then it just hits different. It just reads differently, you comprehend it differently, and it seems like something clicked. I almost feel as though the same is with the study now that we're going through, which is growing in character. Now, this is part two, a continuation from last Wednesday. And between so many things that we do, so many things we must always grow in the knowledge of Christ. And there are so many things that we can do to get there. One of them is through prayer. Another, which we're going to talk about later on today. Another one is reading the Word of God, fellowshipping with one another, as the Bible instructs, doing good deeds, being patient, which brings good character, your character, the way that you are. So many different things can help us grow our character. But nonetheless, what I want to do is, maybe for the next 10, 15 minutes or so, I'm going to try, I always promise that I'll try not to draw things out, for the next 5 to 10 minutes, excuse me, I'm going to do a quick recap from last week for those who might have missed last Wednesday's teaching, and then we're going to pick up where we left off from last week. Last week, I started out by saying that all of us grow every single day. We all grow, we all develop, and this just happens. It happens naturally. Okay, there's nothing we can do about that. And I also had made mention that we have the good side of growing and the bad side of growing. So the bad side is all of a sudden I woke up this morning and this hurt that never hurt before. I feel this pain that I've never felt before. And you know, all of a sudden I got this ache here and I got this ache there, and you don't feel as young anymore. You do the same activities, but now they're starting to take a toll on you. Last week, I made a mention that I did some garden work in my house for a couple of hours, and it was light-duty garden work, and the very next day, I felt like I had tweaked my knee. It's literally, I feel like I twisted my knee the wrong way, and I was limping for a couple of days, and praise God, the pain is gone. I've 100% recovered. But that those types of things never used to happen. I mean, come on. I'm doing a little bit of garden work here. You know, I'm blowing some leaves around. I'm pushing a weed whacker. You know, I'm cutting some grass, and all of a sudden, I come out of there limping. Like, cut me a break here, all right? So, why? Because I'm getting older. And we all get older. Now, the positive about it is you become wiser as you grow. So next time I cut the grass, I won't do the same thing I did the last time. You know, maybe I'm going to slow down a little bit. You know, maybe I'm going to hold up my posture a little bit better. Or whatever. Anyways, the good side is that we gain knowledge and we gain experience in growing. And the same concept I bring now to our faith. As time goes on, we ought to come closer to God. We ought to be more knowledgeable about the Lord Jesus. Have knowledge, our experiences with Him. And I am going to dive into that a little bit in just a few minutes. We should go closer to the Lord in experience with Him, in knowledge of Him. This is a must. I think I heard a commentary that my mom made on Sunday night. She was having a conversation with someone else, and they were talking about exercising. And she made the comment that went, and that kind of stuck with me a little bit. She said, she was talking about how we should always be active and how we should always move. And she said, if you don't move, you won't move. I think it's what she said. If you don't move, you won't move. Which makes all the sense, you know, all the sense in the world. If you don't live an active lifestyle, if you're not, all right, let me back up a little bit. If you're not exercising your muscles, you're going to become weak. You won't be able to lift certain things. You won't be able to have that distance, that stamina, is the word that I was looking for. The same applies for our Christian life. We need to grow from glory to glory. We need to grow in the knowledge of Him constantly. And the one verse that I brought up to your attention last week, and I'm going to recap the verse again this week, was 2 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 16, which says this, even though our outward man is perishing, it's okay. 2 Corinthians... Did I put in the wrong one? That could be me. Oh, yes, that is the right one. Pardon me. I'm reading two different screens here. What I did is I kept out the first part of my note. The first part of this is, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Praise God. That's exactly what I want. Sorry. I was confusing a couple folks here. But basically, to come back to what I was saying just now, the point that I'm trying to make is this. I want to stick to the latter part of that verse, which is, even though our outward man is perishing, meaning your body, your earthly body, it's getting older. You might not be able to do certain things that you once used to do. All that jazz. The Bible says, yet the inward man is being renewed. And then it follows up by saying, day by day. Which ultimately is saying that every single day, our inward man is getting stronger, is getting renewed. That doesn't perish. It's on forever, renewing in God. And this ought to be our attitude in our approach in our daily living. How can I draw closer to my God? How can I be in His perfect will? Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? Everything that I'm going to do today, Lord, will be for you, with you in mind. I do it for you. May you be glorified with the work from the work of my hands. May everyone who comes across my path see you, Lord. There's so many things that we can do. So, day by day, growing in the Lord is a must for all of us. And I gave you some key points last week. And I gave you three key points. Yes. And I'm going to just briefly, I'm not going to try to drag this out as much. I'm going to briefly just touch up on every single one of them, bring out some key points. The first thing that I mentioned was growing in character, right? The very first thing is for us to grow up. We can grow up. And I use the term babe in Christ, as used in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul. And I want to bring here a verse to your attention that speaks about that as far as babe in Christ. Babe in Christ is pretty much referring to someone who hasn't developed, someone who's immature, someone who's carried away by all different types of doctrine and is not able to discern certain things of the Spirit. Before I get into what I'm about to say next and show you the verse in Ephesians that we're about to read, I want to share something with you that was part of a conversation that I've had this past week. I know of a pastor, I personally know a pastor, who recently, within the last couple of months, made a comment that I was a bit saddened about. And when I heard about this, it brought me right back to the teaching that we've been doing right now for the second Wednesday now in a row. This pastor made a mention that in the day of Pentecost, back in those days, the move of the Spirit, of the tongues, and everything that happened in the day of Pentecost was just for that time, and it's not for us now. And I was very saddened by that when I heard it, because I kind of like that pastor. And I still love that pastor. Let me put it on record. I still like that pastor. I like him as a person. I like him as a brother in Christ. And I respect him. But I was saddened when I heard this. Very, very saddened. And borderline troubled. And on the discussion that I was having, it could have been from maybe he was under pressure. Some of the people that attend this church, they're novice Christians, and it could very well be that he was, actually, I cannot say, I probably shouldn't even elaborate on it, so I'm just going to leave it alone. Whatever his motives and reasons, maybe that's the way that he truly feels, which caught me by surprise. But it brought me back to the study that we're doing here, and it brought me back to what Paul had said and referred to as babes in Christ, and how a lot of people are not able to discern what comes from the Spirit. They're tossed around back and forth, here and fro, by all these doctrines that comes from man. Depending on which translation you might read something as far as false prophets even. And this is where we need to take heart. And as we are going to develop this study here, I'm going to show you some key points, even in the light, in the heels of all of this, that will prevent you from being led somewhere that you're not supposed to. I strive, and everyone who stands in this pulpit strives to be 100% biblical in everything done according to the Word of God. And that will never change. As far as personal views, as far as personal doctrines, that doesn't have a place here. We are led by the Spirit of God. We are led by the Word of God. And there's no diversion in that whatsoever. But we are right now talking about growing in character. And one of the things that we need to grow is ourselves. When we're talking about growing in character, growing in the things of the Lord. We, for starters, we must grow. In the knowledge of Christ, we must grow closer to Him. And we shouldn't remain where we always have been. We should always move on forward. I think it's time for that verse. Can I please have Ephesians chapter 4? We're going to cover verses 14 and 15. We covered it last week. We're going to do it again this week. And it says this, that we should no longer be children. Right? Comma. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And now verses 15 said, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head. And who are they talking about? Christ. Christ Jesus. Now, back then, the people weren't developing. They had so much stuff going on. And some of the topics that I touched on last week was envy, anger, between a couple other things that should never be there. And oftentimes that prevents us from developing. But I want to open your mind to something else as far as when it comes to this verse. When the gifts operate in their God-appointed manner, and the saints are active in the service of the Lord. Now, this is the key word here that I'm using, is active. When the things are appointed by the Lord, by God, and they're doing what they're supposed to do. So, it's not just going to service once a week and then carry on with my life. All right, so I'm going to punch. I use the terminology all the time, punching in your time clock. It's not just about punching in and punching out. There's more work to be done. There's labor to be done. There's deeds. But nonetheless, when the gifts operated in their God-given appointed manner, and the saints are active in the Lord's service, Three dangers are avoided. They are. And what are the three dangers that I'm referring to right now that are avoided? The first one is immaturity. The second one is instability. And the third one is gullibility. Now, I'm going to go through every three of these so you understand exactly what I'm talking about. First, I'm going to talk about immaturity because we're talking about growing in character, right? Believers who never become involved in aggressive service for our Lord, okay? Aggressive service. Never emerge from being spiritual children. I'm going to say that once again, word by word. Believers who never become involved in aggressive service for Christ never emerge from being spiritual children. They are undeveloped through lack of exercise. I just spoke about that just a few minutes ago. If we don't exercise, if we're not actively going out there and going for a walk, going for a jog, right? When you go and cut the grass, you tweak your knee. All right, let's take the focus out of me right now, right? But if you're not moving, if you're laying in bed continuously, let's say you're constantly on your back for a month or 2 months, when you go to get up, you're probably going to fall right down, right? So, it's like they are spiritual children. If they're not aggressively in the service of the Lord, they never emerge from that. They are undeveloped through lack of exercise. It was to such that the writer of the Hebrews said this, "For though this by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you." This comes from Hebrews chapter 15, verse 12. Do I have that on the list by any chance? I don't think I do. And my apologies that I didn't. I think I missed that. Hebrews 5, 12. It came to that point where Paul called him out on it. Thank you. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers," by this time, not sitting in the pew, you ought to be so well developed that you can teach somebody else the Word of God. You can bring salvation to them. You could minister healing. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. This is literally speaking about the very first example that I gave you, which is immaturity. So, this is one thing that we have to take into account. When the believer never becomes aggressively involved with the things of Christ, exercising their faith, you remained babes in Christ, as Paul calls them. That's speaking about immaturity. The second thing that I mentioned was instability. Another danger is spiritual fickleness. Immature Christians are susceptible to the grotesque novelties and fads of professional orators, professional speakers, and such. They become what, this is a term that I came across and it just stuck with me and I said, yeah, this pretty much says it. They become religious gypsies. And this is one thing that we must watch ourselves. And the Apostle Paul said, moving to and fro, moving from here to there, to and fro with the doctrines, and from one appealing fantasy to another, Right here, in Ephesians 4, verses 14, it says, that we should no longer be children. Thank you very much. Verses 14 says, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And then it says, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness, let me slow down, of deceitful plotting. This is what I'm referring to right now. Spiritual fickleness. All of this stems from maturity. All of this starts with a good foundation, exercise, good spiritual habits. And then the final thing that I mentioned was gullibility. Most serious of all is the danger of deception. That is what is most serious in all of this. When we are deceived by what's being gone out there. A lot of times, and I welcome this, if it's all done with love, a lot of times I'm challenged by different people about what they've heard here on the internet, and then they heard over there by such and such a person, and they read such a book, and they want to place their doctrine over top of everything, and a lot of times it's not even biblically based. And a lot of times, a lot of people fall away. They fall away from the faith and they are deceived by some of the things that they hear. Those who are babes are unskillful in the word of righteousness, and their senses are not exercised to discern between good and evil, unfortunately. Can I please have another verse that I don't have on the list? Can I have Hebrews chapter 5? Hebrews chapter 5, and can I have 13 and 14, please? Thank you very much. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. There's that word. To discern both good and evil. Exercised. Right there. And here, we must be 100% aware that we must actively do the work of God. 100%. And all of this comes just from verses 14, from the very beginning, from what we read here. Now in verses 15, and now we're coming towards the end of that chapter that Paul speaks on. The last two verses in the paragraph describes the proper process of growth in the body of Christ. First, there is a necessity of doctrinal adherence. And it says, but speaking the truth. There can be no compromise as to the fundamental of the faith. And second, there must be a right spirit. And what am I referring to right now? But speaking the truth, as I just mentioned, in love. Can I have that verse up? Can you put up that verse once again? Hebrews, actually, it would be Hebrews 14, 15. Pardon me. Okay. But nonetheless, if it is spoken in any other way, the result is in a one-sided testimony. So, the gifts equipped to the saints in the church, And as the saints engage in active service, they grow up in all things unto Christ. But this is the key thing here, in active service. We must exercise our faith, which is part of growth. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the aim and object of their growth. And the sphere of growth is in all things. In every area of their life, they become more like Him, like our Lord Jesus. So, I wanted to shine a light as far as us growing as individuals, us growing as Christians, developing in Christ, because I believe that's key. So, this is what I had mentioned last week. So now, moving on to the next topic that I talked about last week was, we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I had made mention that Peter, in his very last chapter, he has two books in the Bible, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. That's in his name. His very last chapter, the very, very last verse, it says this, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the very last thing he said. And then he finishes by saying, to him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. The focus that I'm trying to bring to your attention right now is that we should grow in the knowledge of God and in the grace of God. As it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, Peter teaches that continued progress in divine things is a great protection against the hazard of false teachers, against the hazard of people who try to input things in our minds that don't belong, that don't come from God. There must be a twofold growth in grace and in knowledge, as the Apostle Peter just finished saying, correct? And I want to bring your attention to something right now, and potentially you've never thought about this before. Last week I mentioned that the basic meaning of grace is unmerited favor. Right? Unmerited favor is a common definition for grace. But then I mentioned that more precise meaning is determined by context. That was mentioned last week. Well, let me be a little bit more precise this week. Grace is the practical demonstration of the fruit of the Spirit. Growth in grace, right, is not increased head knowledge of the Word of God, or is not increased tireless activity. So right now I've been talking about exercise, right? I've been talking about getting to know the Lord, knowing His Word and all of this, and we should do this, but now I'm specifically talking about grace. This is a two-part fold. There is a grace and there is a knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, as mentioned in 2 Peter 3:18. But back to grace. Grace is not increased head knowledge or tireless activity. It is increasing likeness to the Lord Jesus. It's as simple as that. To be more like Him, to be the image of Christ, to be like Christ, to imitate Him. Grace. And now going on to knowledge. Knowledge means acquaintance with the Lord through His Word. acquaintance with Him. Growth in knowledge means increasing study of and subjection to His Word, His works, and His ways. If we do that, we find grace in our Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, going back to the second point that I mentioned last week, we can grow in grace and the knowledge. The first one, we should grow up, that I just mentioned. Second is growing in grace and knowledge, as mentioned by the Apostle Peter. And then the third thing that I mentioned last week was we can grow in faith. And I'm going to go straight to the point. How can we grow in faith? This is a common verse. I have it on the list there. I should have Romans 10, 17. Yes? Here we go. It tells us, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is one way that we can grow. I know that right now we cannot fellowship, and I know that we can't be together as one and worshiping God in His house. But we praise the Lord for technology. We praise the Lord that He has sent a means for us to buy the equipment that we needed to upgrade our camera system. And ultimately, what we're bringing to you is the Word of God. We're bringing to you what the Lord has imparted on me, on us, so we can give it to you. So that way, you're not just left dry. This is how we grow, by hearing the Word of God. Praise God. So those are the three things that I mentioned last week. So now, moving on. I'm hoping I didn't take too much time. Has 40 minutes really gone by? Oh, wow. Oh, my. I was afraid that was going to happen. Well, I'll be elaborating for, say, another 20 minutes or so. If in case it goes to next week, then that'll just be it. I don't want to overwhelm you with all these things. I don't want you to forget about anything. And if in case you're taking notes, I don't want to go too fast. But right now, I think I'm going to spend a good amount of time speaking about love. We can grow in love. Not in love, but in love. Let me distinguish the difference there. Love. And I believe that this is of great significance because oftentimes this is how I mistake somebody for being a Christian if I don't know them. You've come across someone who is so lovely, who is so charming and so polite and delightful to be around. And afterwards, when you leave, or maybe even during the conversation or interaction, you might in your mind think, this person is probably a believer, a follower of Christ. They're probably a Christian. Why? Because you assume that they are based upon how lovely they are. And this is one thing that I've actively decided to, is a behavior that I've actively adopted and I consciously strive for it, is to be as nice as I possibly can, as polite as I possibly can to every single person, including demonstrating good manners. Like when somebody opens the door for you, make sure you say thank you. All right? That's one pet peeve I have. We won't go there. But nonetheless, let's get back to the scripture. Let me bring to your attention right now Romans chapter 12. We're going to cover verses 9 and 10. And it says this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. The very first thing here that I want to bring to your attention is hypocrisy. And this ought to define everything here. If you're going to love on someone, I mean, give your all, Give it your best. Do it as though you were doing it for yourself. The Bible says, love your neighbor or love thy neighbor as thyself. So all of that means if you're doing something for somebody else, do it as though you were doing it for yourself because you love yourself. If I'm in front of a buffet right now and I see 10 cheeseburgers, most likely I'm going to pick out the juiciest one, the one with got the cheese running off the side, because I love myself and I love my taste buds. You know, so I takes care of myself. The same attitude we should have towards other people. And that's what it speaks about without any hypocrisy. Abhor from the things that are evil and cling to everything that is righteous. The Bible here says that is to what is good. Be kind and affection to one another in brotherly love. Now, another verse that I want to bring to your attention is this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22. And it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. I don't think a pure heart has any room for hypocrisy, if somebody were to ask me. I read a little comment, as a matter of fact, that I want to share with you right now. It says, only love can be divided endlessly and still not diminish. I thought that was a beautiful statement. And a true statement at that. I'm going to read it once again. Only love can be divided endlessly and still not be diminished. So, our God is love. He's a God of love. And I think that we can grow in love. There is always room for growth when it comes to that. And sometimes I know it takes labor. But now, speaking of labor, speaking about active and exercise and doing things and all of that, I want to bring your attention right now to a beautiful story in the Bible. Actually, I might be a little bit ahead of myself here. Pardon me. Getting my notes. Before I get to that, I'm going to bring a key story here. But before I get to that, I do want to bring to your attention one verse. And that is Romans chapter 13. I would like to cover verses 8 through 10. And it says this. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Verses 9 says, for the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I want to bring this verse to your attention before I moved on too quickly. I almost got ahead of myself there. Based upon the heels of what I've just finished mentioning, about when we love someone, let us do it sincerely with everything that we have. Let's do it as though we're doing it for ourselves. As I just finished mentioning here in verses 9, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the very last commandment mentioned here, one of the list of commandments that was mentioned. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. It fulfills everything. It almost binds everything together. It's bound by love. And love is best expressed through our actions. I want to bring to your attention now 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Praise God. What a beautiful way to wrap this up. But I'm not quite wrapped up yet. I almost jumped the gun here a few minutes ago when I wanted to tell you this story. I believe that this is such a beautiful story in the New Testament. There are several stories in the New Testament that sometimes, you know, when you're sitting and reading the story and then you stop and you meditate it and you process it and you try to visualize it, there are stories that sometimes have you choked up. There are stories sometimes that bring exceeding amount of joy. There are other times that bring you such great sadness when you read about what the Lord went through on the way to the cross. And there's all these mixed emotions that you get. But this is one that I truly admired. And as I was reading this verse, and as I was reading this passage, I've even preached about this person that I'm about to preach, that I'm about to share with you right now. And this section of the verse totally went over my head. This is what I had mentioned in the beginning of the sermon, that sometimes you read a verse and it just hits you differently. I want to bring to your attention right now Luke chapter 7, and I'm going to break this into different parts. First, we're going to read verses 37 and 38. And it says this: "And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner," and we won't get to that right now, but anyways, "when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil," next verse, "and stood at his feet," his meaning our Lord Jesus, capital H, "his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears." Just imagine that for just a moment. How much was she must have been bawling. I mean, how much crying must someone do to be able to soak somebody's feet? And then it continues by saying, "and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil." That is a beautiful demonstration, a beautiful act of love. Can I loosely say sheer love? This is all these emotions tied in one setting. There is, she has remorse of the things that she's done. She has repented. She's seeking for, can I say, forgiveness? And then there's the demonstration of love, which follows by her kissing the Lord Jesus' feet. And she probably doesn't have anything to wipe his feet down, so she uses her own hair. Something tells me that the Lord was not standing on top of carpet. Or maybe tile. Maybe he was. We don't know. But I do know that it was customary back then for folks to have their foot washed and their hands washed and their face washed when they come into such a meeting as the Lord was in back at that time, and anoint their hair with oil and whatnot. None of that was done for the Lord in this particular occasion, in this setting. But you see all of these things happening in the most drastic way. And it's all a sheer display of humility, of brokenness, repentance, and love. You see that she was kissing the Lord's feet. And then some scholars will say that this alabaster flask was probably the most expensive thing she had, or her most prized possession. Some people put emphasis on that, and it could very well be. But whatever it is, it cost her something. It cost her. It wasn't just something around the way. And some even say that the whole room was filled with the aroma. That's how vivid this was. But now I want to, let's continue here with where I'm going with this. Let's continue with the scriptures. I want to bring to your attention right now, continuing in the same chapter. Now we're going to move on from verses, we're going to cover verses 44 through 47. And it says this. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simeon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head." Verses 45 says, "You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in." This tells me that while the Lord is speaking to this man, this lady is still kissing his feet. Just imagine that. The Lord is speaking to him, and she just has no care in the world. Verses 46 says, "You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, and here is the kicker, for she loved much." And when I came across these four words right here, I was like, whoa, dude, hold on, back the bus up. All of this that she's doing summarizes just about what just happened. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. There's a lot to be said about these few words right now that we just finished reading. The Bible says, because she loved much. She's a sinner. She is someone no different than you and I. Now, hold on, Pastor. What did you just say? So we're not actively involved in what she was involved in, all right? But she's still a sinner, just like we are. And the Lord knew exactly who she was. He knew her past. He knew everything that she did. But yet, in the midst of all of this, the Bible says that she loved much. And it says, "To little is forgiven, to little is also loved." That is huge right now in this time. Our Lord Jesus did not suggest that the Pharisee was not a great sinner. This is not what he's saying right now, or one more than the other. Rather, our Lord Jesus emphasizes that Simon had never truly acknowledged his vast guilt and been forgiven. And if he just had a clue, he would have loved the Lord as deeply as that woman did. Some people say that she was a harlot. He would have loved just as much as that sinner woman did. But he didn't. We are all great sinners. We can all know great forgiveness also. We can all love the Lord greatly. Greatly. As you recall, King David is said to be a man after God's own heart. And you and I know that King David has done some pretty barbaric things. some strong things. Some things that the Lord came down hard on him. The Lord took away one of his childs. I was doing a study on that about a year ago or so, last summer. And the child wasn't an infant. I think what I read was it might have been two or three. Because there was a period of time after the sin with Bathsheba that the Lord did not speak and did not visit David. And in that time, David had fallen very sick. The Bible says, "And please do not take thy Holy Spirit away from me." Because David feared that God had taken away the Holy Spirit from David. One of the very early mentions of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. It's a beautiful thing. More to come. Stay tuned. So anyways. So the Lord removed a child that had already known who his or her, I don't know if it was a he or a she, knew who their father was. Probably already was talking, had some speech, and the Lord snatched them right out. Why? Because of his sins. He had fallen sick, big time, a disease. His bones hurt. The Bible says, "While I concealed my sins, my bones rotten." And all of this took place between his encounter with Bathsheba and then when the Lord took away his child. This is big time punishment. I have our first child. I have one child with my wife. She is 8 months, right? She's 8 months, almost 9 months. And it's only 9 months. She's not two or three. I couldn't think about losing my child under any circumstances. And yet, the Lord took it. But why am I mentioning all of this to you right now? There should be no doubt in your mind that King David loved the Lord. It's all over the scriptures. All over. He talks about it continuously. About abiding in the Word day and night. Fellowship with Him day and night. Calling out to Him. Crying out to Him. And he is called to be a man after God's own heart, regardless of all the things that he did, regardless of all the sins. And the Lord says, and this woman, which her sins are many, are all forgiven because she loved much. And this is why I wanted to bring emphasis to what I'm saying here this evening, that we can grow. We can grow in love. Once again, not grow in love, grow in love. And it's something that we need to strive through. No matter what we have done, no matter what our past is, no matter the circumstances, if we love the Lord, if we have brotherly love for one another, our sins are washed away. Things all of a sudden become easy. Things all of a sudden just open up. Praise God. You know, I believe I have been speaking for about an hour or so. I don't want to go past an hour because I want you to hold on to everything that's being mentioned. It wasn't my intentions in making this a three-part sermon, or four-part, only the Lord knows. But nonetheless, saints, I hope that you are able to cling to some of the things that's being mentioned right now. All of these things are things that the Bible is showing. I have literally a list like this of verses that I have to go, that I wanted to share with you this evening. And this is proof that everything that I say is backed by the Word of God. And I wouldn't have any other way And I don't want to continue because I want you to hold on to all these things. And I want you to be spiritually mature. I want you to be able to discern the Word of God the right way, the proper way, which we are going to dive into that next week, next Wednesday, as we continue the study of, growing in character. Praise God. Let us conclude with a word of prayer. Please close your eyes. Our Heavenly Father, as we always say, we love you. And Lord, may this time, Lord, that we are here spending in your word, in fellowship with you, Lord, right now, through the Spirit, may it be, Lord, that we would grow and develop. May that fire, Lord, start within us to where as though, Lord, we want to be more and more and more like you, just like you. I ask, Lord, that you will visit every single person that has partaken, Lord, in this lesson. I thank you, Lord, for your holy word, the knowledge of the word, Lord, the Holy Spirit that enlightens us, that helps us understand, Lord, what your word is saying. May we have, Lord, an open heart, a humble heart, and a heart, Lord, that loves. Loves unconditionally. I pray, Lord, that as this week goes by and up until next Wednesday, that we can, Lord, put into activity some of the things that we have discussed. Give us, Lord, an opportunity for us to do your work, Lord, here on earth. Starting, Lord, with loving one another as ourselves. Lord, we love you. We exalt your holy name. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Once again, I'd like to say thank you so much for joining this live stream. And we have been trying to start on time. I've mentioned this before a couple of times. I would have started right on 7 on point today, but I checked the battery on my microphone and it was almost fully depleted. So, apologies that I started a few minutes past the hour. But nonetheless, thank you all for those who are coming after the fact. Thank you so much for taking knowledge and partaking in the Word of God and this Bible study. Every single Saturday we are doing a prayer call. Is it this Saturday? Is it Freddie Clark. Prophet Freddie Clark will be joining the conference call on Saturday morning. And there's also going to be communion, yes, on Saturday? There is going to be communion, yes, confirmed. There's going to be communion and prayer. As far as prayer is concerned, we have an online digital sign-up sheet for the prayer chain. And I've been trying to push it. Push the online sign-up sheet. Please sign up online. You're not able to physically come and sign up here, so we have developed an online prayer chain list, a digital sign-up sheet. Please take advantage of that. You're going to see right on our homepage. It'll be right there across the header, right on top. Should be right in the center, somewhere close to the center. And please take advantage of that. So we want to continue seeking the Lord and praying. This was one of the things that I was going to cover this evening, but we're going to get to it next week. We'll get to it Wednesday, I promise. Praise God. Next time will be Sunday morning. You're going to see me Sunday morning here, God willing, in Jesus' name, 10 o'clock sharp, if we're still here, if the Lord hasn't come. But nonetheless, thanks again. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for watching. And as I always say, may the Lord bless you. God bless you. Amen.